Genesis chapter 41. When 2 full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the river bank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled." So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." "I cannot do it," Joseph replied to Pharaoh, "but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires." Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream I was standing on the bank of the Nile, when out of the river there came up 7 cows, fat and sleek, and they grazed among the reeds. After them 7 other cows came up, scrawny and very ugly and lean. I had never seen such ugly cows in all the land of Egypt. The lean, ugly cows ate up the 7 fat cows that came up first. But even after they ate them, no one could tell that they had done so. They looked just as ugly as before. Then I woke up. In my dream, I saw 7 heads of grain, full and good, growing on a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads sprouted, withered and thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 good heads. I told this to the magicians, but none of them could explain it to me." Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows are 7 good years, and the 7 good heads of grain are 7 years. It is one and the same dream. The 7 lean, ugly cows that came up afterward are 7 years, and so are the 7 worthless heads of grain scorched by the east wind. They are 7 years of a famine. It is just as I said to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. 7 years of great abundance are coming throughout the land of Egypt, but 7 years of famine will follow them. Then all the abundance in Egypt will be forgotten, and the famine will ravage the land. The abundance in the land will not be remembered, because the famine that follows it will be so severe. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in 2 forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take 1/5 of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming up and store the grain under the authority of Pharaoh, to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country, to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine." The plan seemed good to Pharaoh and to all his officials, so Pharaoh asked them, "Can we find anyone like this man, one in whom is the Spirit of God?" Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, No one will lift a hand or foot in all Egypt. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name of Zaphnath-Paaneah, and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sands of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt, and all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe everywhere. Howdy, everybody. Welcome back to Reading Heathens, the unholy and holy uninformed Bible study podcast. I'm your host, Adam B., here with your other host, Daniel T. How you doing, Daniel?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm excellent, Daniel. Maybe the best I've ever been in my life. I'm excited today because we're joined by a guest.
Yeah, our good friend and past guest of the show, Schaefer B.
Also known as Schaefer B.
Yeah, what the hell, Daniel? He going out and our guest here.
Also, what is this? Every time we have a guest, we have to hide their last name like we're an underground radio.
I just wanted to rhyme with you guys. Oh, okay. Everybody can know my name. Actually, I prefer it. Schaeferborn.com.
Well, I know I'm disgraced by our podcast. I assume Everybody else will be as well.
I'm definitely embarrassed.
Well,
look at his little cheeks getting red.
What?
Daniel.
Oh, he's putting his little pinky in his mouth.
Stop wringing your hands, Daniel.
Oh, God, he's taking his pants off.
He's lactating.
Whoa, that's a lot.
It's my last good shirt.
Well, Daniel, speaking of lactating, last we checked in with the Bible, our old buddy Joseph was stuck in prison.
Yeah, he was, he's running the prison, though, of course, as per Joseph's, like, way of doing things. He gets fucked over, and then all of a sudden he's just like, I'm going to get to work, and I'm going to run shit.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's not so much he gets to work as God gets to work on his behalf.
That's it. See, it's God that's blessing
him. He's wielding the power of God.
I see.
Yeah.
Joseph is God's favorite boy right now.
Yeah, he's our favorite boy. That's the thing. God always has a favorite boy. Never a favorite girl. But only favorite boys.
Yeah, it's good to have a favorite girl. The girls are usually just his favorite girls by association.
Yeah. And then, like, you know. Actually, you know what? The women, they are awesome in spite of God normally, because they're usually getting fucked over so far, and then they're having to hide gods up their skirts.
And well, in this chapter, Joseph went from being in prison to running Egypt.
from the bottom, then he's there.
Just like, that's not even enough content to film the music video for that song. Yeah. It's just like, takes him out of prison and is like, here's my ring, son.
Yeah. It's like, sweet.
Well, it's really like, God helping Joseph interpret dreams has really paid off for him. Like, it's like really helped things along.
Man, I'm thinking I could have interpreted these dreams myself.
Yeah.
Like, I love that they get all the wise men and they're like, there were 7 fat cows and then there were 7 skinny cows and they're all like, Yeah. That's very vague symbolism.
What's going on happening here? What was that guy who was talking to, had a daytime show where he was talking to dead people?
It was on Sci-Fi. I can't remember that dude's name.
No, this one was on like, it was like on like Channel 2 or something. Like, it was like,
okay,
he was real.
Well, I mean, obviously he's not real, but
what are you talking
South
about?
Park made fun of him.
Yeah, South Park made
like,
fun of him.
He had like a show where like it was like these like it was like a bleacher setup, all these people, like, and it was just him in the middle of a stage, and he'd be like, all right, something over here. And he would, like, wave his hand in a direction. He'd be like, I'm feeling a Roger. Does anyone know a Roger? And then basically he would, like, be like, I'm talking to your uncle now. And it's basically just manipulation tactics, right?
Right.
He would make people think that he was communicating with their dead uncle.
And they had, like, an information center when he had a radio in his ear. I know they've done that with, like, Megatron.
Very well could have.
Like,
yeah.
They've exposed that. What's
that called? When people do that.
Fraud.
Well, no, I mean, there is, like, there's a guy right now on Broadway who is, like, halfway a magician, but I think they call him mentalists.
Oh, mentalists.
Okay. But like, the dude I'm talking about is cool. He, like, comes on shows, and he's like, I'm not magic, and I can't read minds. I can manipulate you.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, so let's do this. And every time, it's pretty rad. But, I mean, it still seems like magic, even when you know it's not.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, there's a show called The Mentalist. Damn.
Yes. Which one are you looking for now?
I'm looking for the most. He was the most famous one.
While you're doing that, sorry, I forgot to.
It's just
John Edward.
John Edward. Wow. I wonder why we forgot his name. Yeah. He sounds like my science teacher from eighth grade.
Yeah, it makes it. Oh wait, hold on. No, there's not a picture. A little picture.
Well, that's great.
Oh yeah.
Yep, that's him. Yeah. But I mean,
he was just like a. He
why
was
wouldn't
this,
you
this
trust that face?
He's just like.
Well, there's nothing like looking at Google Images for a podcast.
Listen, I don't know. He was on Oprah Winfrey.
He looks like a sad version of Stallone in that picture.
This is definitely what a youth pastor in 2000 would look like.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Sure.
Kind of like, he doesn't have the frosted tips that everyone had in 2000, but he has the same hair gel that
same
everyone had.
Same hair gel.
Yeah. And small glasses.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what are you bringing him up for, Daniel?
Oh,
interpretation.
Because that's essentially what he was doing. He was like tricking people into thinking that he was magic, but he was just, you know. Penn and Teller talk about it all the time.
Sure.
They brought somebody in to do it to random people. They actually did something that's kind of shitty. They brought Penn and Teller on their television show, brought in a bunch of people in a room, and some other person who wanted to show how easy it is came in and did all, like, oh, I'm talking to your dead grandma or your dead wife or whatever, and everyone's tears or whatever. And then at the end, they're like, "That you gotcha." And then it was supposed to be like the TV show how easy it is, but it's like, no, you just fucked with all those people, though. Like, right.
Not only do they know they didn't speak to their dead relative who they love and miss, but they also feel like fucking idiots.
Yeah, on a big, big TV show.
Yeah,
yeah, but this is not the same as Joseph at all, Daniel, because Joseph is God's boy and he's right.
Yeah, God's doing it for him.
You know what? When you mentioned God's boy the other day and how God does have boys throughout these stories, it seems like Joseph gets the best end of the deal out of anybody I've heard of yet.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really do as much as some of them, you know?
Yeah, he kind of just hangs out. And
yeah, you know. So far, he's the first God's boy who's been in, like, a nice city.
Yeah.
He's gotten wealth and power.
He's pretty. Like,
he's beautiful.
Yeah.
Also,
he's riding around on chariots.
Yeah.
If we think back.
He goes to prison for a little bit, but has a pretty good time in there.
Yeah. He immediately becomes the warden, so I'm sure he's not sleeping in a jail cell.
Yeah.
But even when he was at home, his brothers had to work the fields, and he just got a fancy coat and hung out at home with his mom.
He just seemed to be chilling.
Like, what was his test? Aren't you supposed to be tested when you're God's
maybe
boy?
Maybe it's coming up.
Okay, yeah. I guess I thought the story was over. I don't know why I would. Happy ending.
Yeah. We know at least that his brothers have to come and grovel at some point.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think that's going to happen.
Yeah, that's next chapter. Okay.
This is one of the stories that I have forgotten. It's one of the ones that I know because everybody knows Coat of Many Colors. It was a play, right? As well.
Yeah.
It's a terrible musical.
Multicolored Dreamcoat.
Technicolor.
Dreamcoat. Yeah. But I think they made a cartoon about it too, but it's one of those that I just barely remember bits and pieces of, you know, it's like, what, why was he important? And now I guess I'm figuring out why. And I still kind of don't understand.
Yeah. Well, he
this far.
So this is Adam was actually we were doing to break the fourth wall. He was doing a little record because you know how we opened it up this with Adam's sultry voice reading to us.
I had my pants off.
He had his pants off and that big old dick out. we left off with Joseph in prison, and then it kind of just cuts to a new scene where we're just hearing about Pharaoh's life, which is kind of interesting. The Bible normally goes from person to the next person. It like is runs like almost together. You know, you don't really have many cut scenes, you know, okay, to a different story.
I see.
Yeah, this is the first cinematic tactics in the Bible.
Yeah. So he interprets Pharaoh's very clear dream of like seven. Also, something we should chat about. How they emphasize very clearly that the second set of seven cows were ugly. And even after they ate the pretty cows, they were still very ugly.
Yeah, which is confusing because usually when you eat something pretty, you become pretty.
You become beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens in every vampire movie.
Yeah. Look,
I think this is some skinny shaming going on here. I think that's what they mean. The cows are skinny. They pigged out and they were still skinny.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Wow, yeah, that's like reverse ideology, right? Back then they were like, oh, you're way too skinny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like back when being plump was even better.
Where these days, I'd love to be one of those scrawny cows.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you tell me.
So, they're utterly confounded.
Can't end the podcast. That's great.
I think I'm probably going to double that one up. Wait, let's go ahead and do a callback to it now, and I'll edit it forward.
Okay.
I am utterly amused by verse 50.
Again, yeah! That UCB money paying off.
Woof. Woof. God.
You'll never get that back monetarily, but you'll get it back in humor.
They didn't talk nearly about as much about the grain that was scorched by the east wind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which sounds great.
Burned yeah, down. It makes it sound badass and experienced.
Who would sing that? Who would sing that line?
In the grain like, was burnt.
Of course. Or I was singing like Kenny Rogers.
Except he would talk it.
Yeah.
Kenny Rogers, he cheated his way into being a country star. That's what. All right, he didn't deserve where he got.
He had a good voice.
And he was a good writer.
He does Islands in the Stream, right? That's him.
Which one?
Is it Dolly Parton?
How's that go?
Islands in the Stream. You then know what we are.
Come away with me. That one is good.
I am Kenny Rogers. Oh, he says it. I should have known.
But you get with Dolly Parton. She punches everything up.
That's true. Know. Have you seen her Christmas special? Sorry. We watched a couple episodes the other night. It is bad, but it's funny.
Wait, a couple episodes?
Yeah, it's
of
a series.
Oh my god.
She has an 8-episode Christmas special.
How recent is it?
I think we watched it like 2-3 weeks ago.
And it's new, I mean.
Yeah, new. Yeah, new. Oh. Yeah, it's brand new. And she looks the same. She's like chemically preserved. Yeah. It's weird. But like it's like short stories and she appears in them as different characters. Oh, no. And she usually works in a song or two. Oh,
yeah.
She's gonna do interviews for like 3 years after she's dead.
Yeah.
Um Well, I was gonna say, what I was gonna say before you talked about cows and ugly cows was that Joseph has taken over. He's 30 years old.
Yeah,
he has children now.
Yeah, he gets put in charge. He
gets married to
everything.
The daughter of someone that sounds like Potiphar but isn't. It's another Potiph name, and she's the daughter of a priest, I believe.
Oh shit!
So God's boy is over here sleeping with the daughters of pagan or you know non
God
non Israelite priests.
Wow,
yeah.
And he's still okay with it.
Yeah.
Well, like we said, we haven't seen the end of the story, so. Also, did you mention he got his name changed, which is weird too. Pharaoh changed Joseph's name, right?
Oh yeah, people get their names changed a lot.
Okay, all right. I didn't know if that was a title or if it's like, no, your name is not Joseph anymore, sir.
Is that
Zaphonath? Zaphonath Paneah.
Yeah, that's dope.
I guess I have nothing to add to that. It's just kind of strange.
And he gave him the daughter of Potiphera, priest of On. Okay. So he was just had an arranged marriage, has some children.
Basically just like, you're going to be Egyptian now. Like, you need a new name. And you're going to get, like, this daughter of a priest. Because, like, right now, he's not talking about God at all. Really,
no.
Right? The Pharaoh doesn't know about that.
Aside from him saying that my God will interpret your dreams.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
And assuming that they have different gods.
And he's
which they do.
He's doing a great job introducing the basic concept of saving, like saving excess to the Egyptians. But also, he keeps track of it to a certain point and then is like, it's beyond measure.
Yeah.
It's like, how about that 7 silos of grain or whatever?
Yeah,
like
keep a pamphlet. Keep some records.
Yeah.
So it could be, though, I think as far back in history as this, like, people had a limit to their number systems.
That's
at
true.
Some point,
yeah.
And they were just like, we don't have the means to keep, like, any more record. We don't know what past 700 is.
Yeah.
That's, like, a terrifying concept.
It's like, this is so much, we will never run out.
Yeah. Yeah. This is now just considered a whole big bunch.
Yeah. it is pretty cool that that God taught the Egyptians, like, advanced farming techniques.
Yeah. Well, it's also
reserving techniques.
What Joseph has done here is, Pharaoh's, is amazed by him, and he says, "All right, we got to take this abundance of the 7 years and save up for the famine next 7 years that are famine."
Yeah.
So now what happens is they have enough grain or whatever to sell to everybody else. So through this famine, people are going to starve, obviously, but, like, they're also going to profit. Like, they're pretty much, Egypt is going to take everybody's money because everybody has to come to them to get that good, get that grains.
I guess so, yeah.
God's a capitalist, baby.
Yeah. And it is, it's the rest of Egypt, but, yeah, I mean, they have to come to the capital, I guess, or wherever they are.
Well, all the lands.
Cairo?
Are,
Cairo,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
guessing.
What we know, meaning
well, this said
us.
And all the world came to Egypt.
Oh,
to
okay,
migrate.
It actually is.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, all
so,
the world is like the Middle East and like upper, like North Africa probably at this point.
No, I think they're definitely like,
they've been the entire
people
globe.
Coming from Hawaii up to Egypt.
Okay.
On longboats.
But alluding to the next chapter, the people of Canaan are going to need to come there. I think that's what we... at least that's what I thought about when I read it.
Daniel's getting so excited
about the bad guys coming in.
People of Canaan.
Well, previously, our protagonists out there in Canaan, but they betrayed Joseph. So
yeah, his brothers put him in a well. Then they got
funny prank.
But then they then they're like, We shouldn't put him in this well. Let's just sell him to slavery.
Because he is our brother.
Yeah.
It's better.
Yeah. You don't put your brother in a well. You sell him as a slave.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Joseph, kind of like, you ever hear about those people who will take a paperclip and they try to trade up to a brand new house? You ever hear about that
concept?
You mean
that one thing that happened on the internet once?
Yeah, yeah. Those people, that's kind of what Joseph is doing, except no one likes him.
But it's fucking working, man.
Victoria did
sorry,
that.
Sorry, should I not say the F word? I've let that slip a couple times.
We're going to edit it out. All right.
Yeah. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and we're going to ask you to leave. Victoria actually, fun little trading story. She had a Christmas party, and she took a $25 gift card, and she traded it for a crock pot and $100 because the person wanted the gift card.
So
he just put it at $100 onto the crock pot. But she's like, well, I can't carry around this crock pot. And so another guy thought he could trade that crock pot for something else. This is after a white elephant game, by the way. But anyhow, so she said, well, I'm keeping the $100, but you can have a crock pot. He took the fucking deal and gave her a Roku stick, right? And then she found another guy who traded her for the stick for a gift card to a fancy restaurant. So she ended up with $100 and a gift card to a fancy restaurant.
Wow.
I thought she was going to trade her way up to a better man.
Who doesn't tell her boring stories on podcasts? That's just an example of how she's smarter than me. Smarter than I am.
No, I've only ever been screwed in those games.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I've never gone to one with like good gifts, like really good gifts, like that. Like the ones I go to are like everybody $20 limit.
Yeah.
So it's like I'll get my first thing. And it's like I guess I'll stick with this. Yeah. I guess I'll take this deodorant kit.
Deodorant kit.
Like Arm & Hammer, like manscaping kit,
which is just like it's a regular Arm & Hammer refrigerator powder box, and like a rusty like dollar razor blade.
Yeah. another little thing in there that I thought was fucking cool. So he's given Joseph's running things from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh gives him his signet.
Yeah, ring, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's dope. You know?
Yeah.
Like the Irishman just that's hands like over a ring.
Yeah, dude. It's also like a signet ring also would be that's like the mark of the king too. So I guess it's the same. It's the same as the Irishman. Like this is our mark. It means something.
Well,
but
also you can just stamp the official letters.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like you can pass judgment on things now. Like he trusts you enough to be like signed the Pharaoh.
Yeah. The Pharaoh says I will be Pharaoh in name only.
Yeah. Oh, that's fucking great. I didn't know that.
Which I mean,
he's just been looking for anyone to hand over.
I'm done.
I'm just gonna drink wine.
I am done.
Also, this is the thing that keeps happening for Joseph. He keeps impressing these men who clearly just don't want to work anymore. Because that happened with the prison warden. He was just like,
the captain of the guard.
Oh, yeah, the captain of the guard. His first slave owner was just like, I don't want to work anymore. And then he just ate and got fat. And then, you know, so like, yeah.
But the cupbearer is the guy who saves him. So
even
though it said the cupbearer forgot about him, it did pay off for Joseph. It just had to wait until the proper time.
Yeah.
Cupbearer couldn't walk up to the Pharaoh and be like, yo, would you bust this guy out of prison for me? I know you almost impaled me.
Like, I see my pal happens to be on a stick right now. I'm sorry, Joseph, but I'm going to keep my fucking mouth shut and play it safe. I'm keep this wine flowing right.
Well, that was a fascinating chapter of the Bible. If I was going to rate this on 1 to 5 stars, Daniel, I'd give it 2.5.
That's a rough, you know, I didn't expect that.
Let me tell you why. It's very long. Mm-hmm. They repeat the dreams twice, full repetition.
Adam is sick of that.
I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
Screws up the pacing. And like, sure, it's a great crazy thing that happens. Joseph just becomes king of Egypt, basically, and rules everything. But it's not presented in a way that this could be way more poetic.
Yeah, that's fair.
Compared to some things we've seen, or maybe I'm just in a fucking bad mood. But that's what it gets. 2.5.
Yeah. Well. And I'm throwing shit around here.
Adam started playing quarters.
I'll do.
Yeah.
Icy cold brew.
All right, I'll give mine, and then we'll hand it over to our guesty poo. You know what? I'm genuinely, you know, The Bible gets hard to read sometimes. And by sometimes, I mean most of the time. But I'm genuinely in the story a little bit. I think, you know, I think it's kind of fun, you know, for Bible standards. I am with Adam. It's like, come on. It's like a long, super long story that probably could have been a little better. No one dies in it. And at this point in the Bible, I need someone to be dying or almost dying to get a good score.
That's fair.
That's pretty much where I'm at. So I'm going to give it an even three. Three out of five signet rings.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, look, the last two times I've been on here, I've only read stories that were just lists of names. So this one is far superior. But I got to also take some influence off of you guys. And, I mean, to be honest, yeah, this is the first real story I've read on this show myself with you guys. But, I mean, it's kind of just boring, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, Joseph, it sounds like it's just been a steady climb of him going up and up, you know? I mean, he keeps getting put into bad situations, but it seems like it's almost immediately, like, turned into a good situation. So you don't really feel too scared for him ever.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, what, he becomes, like, you know, the right-hand man of the Pharaoh, and then, like, and then he, you know, he saves Egypt, so I guess... That's good. It's a good ending, which is nice.
Yeah.
But you know, good endings sometimes can be boring. So I guess I'll go. I'll go 2.75 mini colors.
I'm gonna adjust my rating to 2.5 ugly cows. Not even the sleek fat cows.
So it gets pretty fair rating in there. I do want to say, that we need to quick give a shout out to our opening Amazing Grace. Sometimes we forget to.
Yeah, we totally something. Did.
It's fine. It's Leanne Rimes.
Wait, I thought it was Celine Dion.
Yeah, Celine Dion. Yeah. Shows how much work we do. I'm going to cut that part out.
Daniel, I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was gorgeous.
Celine Dion or the way I talk?
That fucking look of disgust on your face for yourself.
No, but you guys should look up Celine Dion, Amazing Grace. Watch that really yeah. Watch that really sweet PowerPoint that's on YouTube. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. It really makes you think.
Yeah.
Schaefer, would you like to plug anything?
Oh, yeah.
This is the end of the podcast.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You know what? I work with these two guys
in a coal mine.
In a coal mine. And we have a bunch of just raw coal. And we'd love for you guys to come and buy it because it is filling up Daniel's room and it stinks. It's stinky. I stream a cooking show every Friday on Twitch on our shared Twitch channel called Hosted Pod. And it's called Lightning Hot, and you can catch me every Friday, 6:30 Pacific Time, 8:30 Central Time. Yeah, check it out. We just cook something different every Friday.
It's a lot better than this show.
Yeah, like...
Disagree.
Example, we always... I mean, we'd love to give examples of podcasts you can or shows you can go watch and turn this thing off and like go to it right now. You can do that. So, yeah, don't listen to the next episode of this show. Just go watch Schaefer's show.
Yeah. I'd also like to plug the Doughboys.
That's another great podcast.
WTF?
Yeah.
Speaking of this show that you should tune out of, Schaefer, you want to come back for the next episode?
Well, that would be great. Let's go.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.